Welcome back to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, Director of Worship Arts here at the church. This week, I'm working alongside our associate pastor, Reverend Eric Meyer. Welcome to week two of our worship series, Walking with God. Like many in the church around the world, we are continuing to journey through Luke's gospel following the lectionary calendar. We are also exploring themes from the movie The Way, starring Martin Sheen. If you haven't had the pleasure of watching it, I highly recommend picking up a copy. You can find it on Netflix and Amazon and plenty of other sources online. It's really one of my favorite movies of all time.
Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. Hear this word. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What would inspire you to walk with a backpack 500 miles? Just you and your backpack and the people you meet on the way. We started to hear some of those inspirational moments. Tom has lost a son, and he's carrying the ashes. And he probably himself doesn't even really know why, but he felt a call to make this walk. Joost, the man from Amsterdam, he says he's just walking to lose weight, but he has an endless supply of drugs to keep him going. Maybe there's something more. Sarah, she says she's just walking to give up smoking. And she will quit as soon as she's done with the walk. But she also seems to have an endless supply of cigarettes. Maybe there's something deeper. And Jack has writer's block. He's trying to write everybody else's story. But maybe he's afraid to examine his own story. And you see, at this point in the movie, they're all holding tightly onto their masks. What hides the true self, the tender, naked self from all of their friends. Ryan, would you put the next slide up? When Ken and I first met, about halfway through our first year together, we had been talking about art quite a bit. Both of us love God speaking to us through art. It is one of the most powerful ways that God talks to us. And Ken said, I have a friend who's a sculptor. He's wrapping up his seminary degree at Vanderbilt, and he has a whole series of sculptures that he's working on, and he shows me pictures, and I see this one, and I said, Ken, that is my theology. Will he sell that? And Ken said, sure, but it's kind of hard for me to see theology there. We all wear masks, and God is calling us to remove those masks. All of the characters in The Way have their masks on, and Tom, he is not ready to take that mask off and reveal to any of his friends that he's met on this way why he's even walking. None of them know why he's walking. Joost has seen the tin with the ashes and has made some assumptions, but Tom won't reveal who he is. You see, revealing ourselves, taking off the mask, is messy. And sitting that mask in a boat and sending it down the river, Oh, it's all I can do to take off that beautiful mask. And the mask is beautiful, but look at the boat. Oh, it's just something I put together quickly to get rid of that mask. That is the core of the gospel. That is why Jesus came, to help us reveal our masks so we can simply be who we are. And I'm sure some of you are saying, Eric, what are you talking about? We all have masks. In fact, every time we say the word I am, it reveals a mask. Bill, I'm going to pick on you. I am a technology guy. See, that sets me in this group of technology guys. I am a fisherman. That sets me in this group of fishermen. Ah, but he's also a beautiful, beloved child of God who is a very tender, sweet soul. And sometimes, unless you're around friends that are very close, it's hard to reveal that side, right? So we put on the other masks. What masks might God be asking you to set aside? Whether it's taking a mask off and putting it on the boat and setting it off as a metaphor. Or as Jack said, the road. The road is an awesome metaphor, and that's why we are walking the Camino, because it's a phenomenal metaphor for walking with God. The wide road, the narrow road. These are all metaphors for why Jesus came to heal us. That is what healing is salvation. Sozo. The Greek word that we translate salvation, sozo, even kind of sounds like salvation. It means to be healed. All of the Greek literature, it's healing. To be healed, we have to take off these masks. How do I take off these masks? How do I even begin to stop hiding behind the I am statements? Now, this is one of the areas where I think the Catholics and the Orthodox are way ahead of us. Way ahead of the Protestants. They know that confession is an integral part of healing. And we cannot even begin to take off our masks unless we have somebody to confess what that mask is. Where do we even begin to start with that confession? Oh, there are places. I chose Bill because he's part of the Emmaus community, which is a safe place to take off a mask. Pastors. We have three pastors on staff here. Pastor Tubogans, Rebecca, and Kurt, and myself. We are a wonderful place, a safe place to start. We also have 10, maybe 12 retired pastors that worship here. If you need somebody to talk to start the conversation about taking off a mask, those are places we can start. See, Jesus offers us another metaphor in the scripture today. A very powerful metaphor. And Luke plays with this metaphor. The word hypocrite is an acting term. For a Greek person, if you say the word hypocrite, they immediately know you're talking about an actor, a mask wearer, because all Greek actors take a persona and put the persona on, the mask. And the audience knows exactly who they are by the mask they're wearing. And Jesus says, you mask wearers, you play actors, can't you see the signs? Can't you read the signs that are all around you? What signs might those be? Oh, signs of anger and hatred and judgmentalism and anxiety. The signs are all around us. And they stem from the masks we wear. I hide behind this mask that says I'm an executive, or I hide behind this mask that says I'm a pastor. But when I get home at night, I wonder, am I really that good of a pastor? Am I really that good of an executive? And I don't think I'm just talking about myself, because this country is filled with an anxiety of people knowing that what they hide behind their mask will eventually be revealed, and whatever we hide will be revealed, and it causes tremendous stress, and that's why Jesus is saying, take off your masks. We live in a society where the anger and hatred comes from having to take off a mask of my beliefs. I believe this, so everybody else must be wrong. And this is not a new thing. In fact, this is as old as humanity. And there's a story about this in the gospel. Jesus is walking with a bunch of disciples who have visions of what salvation means. The Jewish people envision salvation as freedom. And they have been envisioning this salvation since the Assyrians came in the year 750. And they haven't been free since, except for a very small period of time. And now it's the Romans. And Jesus is walking with Simon, and he says, Simon, who do the people say that I am? Oh, you're probably a prophet, Elijah, maybe John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Well, they wouldn't think you're much more than that because, come on, Jesus, you say turn the other cheek. You couldn't possibly be the Messiah they want. They want a warrior. And I can't imagine you carrying a sword. And Jesus says, okay, smart guy, who do you say that I am? Well, Jesus, you're the Messiah, the very Son of God. Blessed are you, Simon, for human beings did not convince you of this. The Holy Spirit herself must have told you this. And Simon was pretty elated. He thought he was in good shape. And then Jesus even says, I'm going to rename you. You are no longer Simon. Take off that mask. You are now Petros, which in Greek is rock. You are the rock upon which I will build my church. And the newly named Petros is walking about 6 inches off the ground. And then Jesus starts in with, but I'm on my way to be crucified. I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes, and they will torture me and kill me, but on the third day I will be raised again. And now Simon comes back and says, no, that can't possibly happen, Jesus. No, you are the Messiah. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It is against everything I believe. And you know the next words, right? Get behind me, Satan. Simon, if you want to continue being Simon, you walk that wide road. But if you want to be Petros, invite me to walk with you. And I will tear you open. And I will rebuild you from the inside out. And I will teach you how to pull off those masks so that you can teach others. Who can teach others? Who can teach others? So that you can be the yeast in the flour that transforms this world. Simon, it's up to you. Walk your own way and remain Simon. Invite me to walk with you, and I will teach you how to become Petros. One of the most exciting things for me about reading Scripture is seeing how the craftspeople, the artists, put the Scriptures together. And Luke tells us himself that he is a craftsman, that he has collected these stories and he has crafted the greatest story to be told. And I love the way he's done it. See, he gives us a story that Jesus offered, and then immediately afterwards he gives us a parable that unlocks the story. So today's story Ken read to you, and we get to the unlocking part. And the unlocking part is one of those keys that can be very easy to misunderstand. Jesus tells the world that I've come to bring division, which is truth. If Jesus is going to change us, my family is blessed because I have a wife that accepted this change. Eric, I'm going to change you. I'm going to take off the mask of toy salesman and walk with you until your new identity is going to be revealed. That could easily have divided our family. That division happens every day, all the time, all over the United States, all over the world. Jesus is just being a realist. In fact, Micah chapter 7 Luke uses Micah chapter 7, the very words of Micah, in the words, I have come to bring division, father against son, son against mother-in-law, etc. Those are the very words of Micah, and also the very words of Micah that Luke is pointing us back to. Did you come to offer God thousands of barrels of oil as your sacrifice? Did you come to offer God 100 rams as your sacrifice to be burned on the altar? Fool! That is not what God wants. This is the sacrifice God is asking for, that you would do justice, love mercifully, and walk humbly, taking off your masks with your God. And the parable after that is judge for yourself what is right. If you have an accuser, settle with the accuser, because if you decide to go to the judge has to follow the rules of the law. And if you are found to be guilty of owing a debt to that person, the judge will hand you to the guard and the guard will throw you in jail until the last penny is paid. And we don't have to guess at what judging rightly means. Do justice. Do justice. Live justice. Don't just tell other people how to do justice. We have to do it ourselves. It all begins with us. If we're going to transform the world, we have to be the actors. Chapter 6 from Luke. This is called the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it to you? Even the sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is it to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again, but love your enemies. Do good and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. He's not talking about an end time reward. He's talking about right now. And get this, even sinner, your reward will be great, and your children, you are children of the Most High. The reward is that we start to accept the fact that we are beloved children of God. For God is kind to the wicked and to the ungrateful, and so should you be. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. How do we miss this? How do we read Scripture and call ourselves Christian and judge continuously? Salvation, healing, is taking off the masks, getting rid of the I am statements, and actually living what Jesus is saying. I think one of the more powerful scenes in the way is that moment when Jack realizes everybody has just left him except for Yost. Yost, do you think they'll let me walk with them? No, I don't really think they'll let you walk with them, Jack. I think Jesus is here. I know Jesus is here, sitting in these empty seats right next to us, asking each of us, will you let me walk with you? You can take the wide way and remain who you are, or you can let me walk with you and teach you how to take off the masks. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, it is terribly difficult to take off these masks. It's terribly difficult to reveal who we are in the middle of the night to anyone. We pray that you give us courage to reach out to those who can be your hands and your feet and your ears. We give you the courage to invite you to walk with us so that you can observe everything we think and do and say. We ask that you give us the courage to be examples of what it means to be a Christ follower. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us this week. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, we invite you to come join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas, with multiple services each Sunday morning at 8:45, 9:45, and 11 a.m. Grace and peace, y'all.